Hello, hello. My name is Kim Addis. I'm the president and founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and the co-founder of the Journal That Talks Back. And today you have just joined the Frame of Mind Coaching podcast. Today, my co-host Fernie is not with me, but I do have an extra special guest. She's a friend. She's an author. She's an entrepreneur. She's extremely driven and very organized. Her name is Anne Gomez. She is the founder of Clear Concepts, Inc. Did I say it right?
Clear Concept. Yep.
It's one concept. Clear Concept.
Yeah. We only have one, just one concept.
One concept. Mm-hmm. And she's a coach, a trainer, and her area of expertise is productivity. In fact, she wrote a book on productivity. She's an expert in that area. And that book is called Workday Warrior. And welcome.
Thank you, Kim. I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Show the book again. One more time. Show the book.
Workday Warrior. Here we go.
Workday Warrior. Amazing. It's already a bestseller, right?
Yes.
Not surprised. Yep. Okay. Because when Anne does something, she does it right. All right. So give us a little bit of background. Who are you? What do you do? What is Clear Concept One? And who do you serve? How do you serve them? You know, we are colleagues in a similar industry, and we do mostly different things. Sometimes we overlap a little bit, but mostly different things. So fill everybody in.
Awesome. Thank you, Kim. Yeah. So I lead a training company called Clear Concept, and we are all about helping people thrive at work. And productivity is what we started training on almost two decades ago, because obviously the way we work independently has a big impact on our performance at work. And there's a lot of things that a lot of people do unknowingly that make work harder than it needs to be. So our real sweet spot is productivity. And over the years, we've grown into other loves, like how we collaborate, how we create a high performance team. Hybrid teaming is a hot topic these days that we talk a lot about. And that's super fun for me because I'm a big advocate for a great culture where people could show up and do their best work. And we talk about mindset and we talk about well-being and all the things really that help us have a great experience at work.
All right. So I have a bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. I want to start with this. Do you think that some people are just naturally more productive than others? And
yes.
Is it a reflection of their character, like of their, maybe their breeding, their upbringing?
I think it's nature and nurture. I think we're all different. We all bring different strengths to the table. And I think we can all take advantage of productivity skills to make our days run a little smoother.
Okay. So what interferes with productivity? Typically.
So I've thought about this. I've been really thinking a lot about this for the last two decades. And I, you know, this day and age, there's three big challenges. So the big whammies, is that the word? Whammies are one, trying to do too much at once. And I know that because I have tried to do too much at once for most of my career.
Yeah.
Two, not having enough structure, like too much flexibility. Oh, I'll do it later. Not enough kind of clear boundaries around our time. And then three, too much complication. And I don't know about you, Kim, but do you ever talk to people who overcomplicate things?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love simplicity. And I also love, I'm very practical.
Mm-hmm.
My kids think it's funny because I always choose the most practical route. I hate complication. It's called hating hassle. I hate hassle.
Yeah, I noticed. I've always admired that about you. And that's something I noticed that of anyone who's really good at getting big things done, managing a lot, is they cut right to the chase. They get rid of the fluff. They make decisions efficiently.
Yeah.
Don't strive for perfection. Like they do, they accept help.
Yes.
They lean on others. So they do things to focus on getting things done as opposed to perfect.
Yes. Yes. I am a fan of progress over perfection. But so you said something earlier that when you have too many things to do, so are you saying that multitasking is a bad idea? Like some people love multitasking.
Well, they might love it, but that doesn't mean they're good at it.
Okay. So what is your take on multitasking? I have this argument with my husband sometimes. He always tells me I'm such a much better multitasker than you. And I'm like, I heard that people who multitask actually are lower in their productivity. So you
can actually, the people who think they're better at multitasking are actually worse at it, which is ironic.
Interesting. So what is the problem with multitasking?
After this interview, if you connect me to your husband, I need just 5 minutes with him. 5 minutes.
All right.
Multitasking. Listen, I was a big multitasker back in the day. So many of us were taught that multitasking is the more efficient way to go. But the truth is, and this is, our brains have been studied, obviously, by neuroscientists. How do we process things? We sequentially process. We don't parallel process. We do not do two things at once. And I'm talking about the things we are consciously thinking about. Yes, yeah. We want to chew gum, right? So if I am folding laundry while watching TV, I can do both of those kind of on autopilot, right? But if I'm watching a show where I'm hanging on every word, then I'm not folding laundry, right? Like, we know that we lean into doing one thing when we have to.
Right.
Right. You might be on a call and you are reading an email and someone says, well, what do you think about that, Anne? And you're like, can you rephrase that question? Which is really code for, I was reading email. Like, we do not consciously think about two things at the same time.
Right. When I watch Jeopardy with my husband, and he's like glued to Jeopardy because he's amazing at it, and I play a game on my phone, you know, I'm like, then I tune in when maybe I hear something that I might know the answer to, but I'm not 100%. You're right. I can't do both.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay when you're watching Jeopardy, but if you're doing your work and trying to make for a very efficient day, one thing at a time is a big one.
So then how do you avoid, eliminate, deal with distractions? I mean, I was kind of taking a look at your book, your profile, reading through it, et cetera. And I do work with my husband, and I don't know why I'm giving him such a hard time today, but he walked in and he had to discuss something very important with me, but I was like reading, right? So what do you do when you get interrupted or distracted?
Well, we're not going to eliminate those interruptions. Those are still going to come at us, but we can manage interruptions. So people coming to speak to us, right? This was a big interruption back when everyone was working in the office 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And so what I would suggest in those cases is, you know, you greet someone warmly, like, hey, how can I help you? Right. And it's kind of like you're getting right to the point, right? So you're being friendly, warm, open, and basically you're trying to assess urgency. If they need an answer before the phone call they're going on in 2 minutes, then you're not going to say, I'm sorry, I'm trying to focus right now. Let's talk later. No, you're going to say, here's the answer. Here's the document you wanted. Like, we're not trying to be perfect here, obviously. Yeah. But if they say, well, I want to pick your brain about that meeting that's happening next Tuesday, then you can say, yeah, I want to talk about this also. Can we chat at 3? And so you can manage those. The interruptions still happen, but you're trying to mitigate the interruption, right? You're not going to avoid people coming to see you.
Yeah. I like the idea of assessing urgency. I like that. Yes. That's a good one.
Totally about assessing urgency. And then also, like, there's a couple other factors too. Like, when you sit down to read, it's about saying, okay, what's my goal right now? What am I focused on? I have to do that every time I go into the internet, Kim, because I get so distracted by the bright, shiny objects. And remember, you went in for this piece of information, go get it and then come out.
Here's a question for you. Like, it happens to me almost every day. Mm-hmm. I go take a shower it's happening again, but I go take a shower and I think about something mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to look up the relationship between, I don't know, let's say a hernia and weight gain. Like, I just think of something, right? I want to, you know, so-and-so, a client of mine mentioned this and I want to I want to do some research on it, whatever. I come up with something in my head. But the minute I come out of the shower, it's gone.
Right. You know, there's notepads for the shower. You can
go. Oh yeah. So that's what I should do. I should have a notepad in my shower.
You know, similarly, people do this like when they're sleeping, they wake up or they have trouble falling back to sleep, going to sleep originally, because they're thinking of the relationship between hernias and weight gains or whatever it is they're thinking about. And there was a study that showed that if we write it down, we feel more confident too, because it's captured. And so we can let it go now.
You know what that's called, Anne? Journaling.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it's called. I'll never miss an opportunity to plug journaling. Okay. So you said something before that I want to come back to, which is this whole idea of like working from home. Does it actually increase our productivity or decrease our productivity? There's a whole wide debate out there.
Right. And that's situational dependent, right? Like if you have three young children who are homeschooling or, you know, virtual schooling, then you're probably not going to be as productive at home. It depends. It depends on you, your working style. If your work is really collaborative, if you have a lot going on at home, if you're really tempted to dive into personal projects at home, then being in the office is probably more productive for you. Right. And similarly, the office can also be ripe with interruptions. Yeah. It really depends.
So, I mean, I work with business owners and, you know, sometimes they're troubled by this whole work at home status.
Right.
What would you advise them in terms of trying to help make sure everybody's as productive as possible?
Yeah. For their teams, you mean, or themselves individually? Yeah. I would say lean into hybrid. I am an advocate for hybrid, not an extreme everyone in the office 5 days a week or everyone at home 5 days a week. There is magic in both. And we want to offer our teams flexibility. Now, I do suggest that things like community days, and guidelines are very effective because we do know that there's magic in coming together.
Yeah.
Just know that not for most roles, there's a component of it that can be done virtually, and the workforce is more empowered than it's ever been before. I think setting people up for success does not involve having strict mandates to be in the office.
Got it. Okay. So go back. You said the first kind of interrupter of productivity was multitasking, doing too much at once.
Yeah.
The second one was too much flexibility.
Yeah. Isn't that one ironic?
What do you mean by that? Because I love flexibility.
Yeah. Flexibility seems like the ultimate. Like I remember early in my career, an entrepreneur was talking about flexibility, how much flexibility he had. And I thought, one day. But the truth is that when we don't have structure, then we don't necessarily build our days around what's most important. Mm-hmm. And what we should do really is pay ourselves first, right? So I think so many people can relate to fitness, right? So this is a personal example. This is the same is true in our work lives. I go to the gym 3 times a week and I do a lot of walking outside that. And I have those gym time slots in my calendar. I actually have it in my calendar 4 times a week. And my goal is to hit 3 of them. Sometimes with kids and work obligations, things, I can't hit all 4. But today, for example, I'm going to the gym at 5:00. Now, Kim, if you were to ask me whether I feel like doing the burpees that they'll probably make us do during the gym class today, the answer is a flat out no. But I'm always happy I go, and I'm happy I invest in my well-being. It's important. Physical fitness is important for all of us.
Right.
So I put it in my routine. I don't just think, I'll go when I feel like it, or I'll go when I have time, because then it's not going to happen.
Right.
And I think a lot of people can relate to get the routine. Yeah. And the same is true for our priorities, for our independent work, right? There's so many things that can gobble up our time. If we don't pay ourselves first and put some structure in our day, I'm going to work on this priority during these time blocks consistently week over week, then we're going to not have enough time for the things we value most.
So how do you build a routine? Like if, you know, use your example of doing the burpees, like, sorry, you can't get me there. There's just no way.
That's okay. To do burpees.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, how do you get someone to engage in a routine, even though they know it's good for them, but they resist it? How do you get someone?
Yeah. Like really, we all should do the things that bring us joy. And for me, a cardio workout and a strength workout does bring me joy. It does invigorate me. But like for fitness, it could be yoga. It could be playing soccer with your kids, like going for a walk with your dog. There's lots of different options. The same is true in our work life. We really want to lean into the work that brings us joy. And hopefully we've aligned our career with that.
Yeah.
And I talk about your 3 core priorities. And there's ways to think about that. Like, what has the biggest impact? What are you most excited about, right? So those 3 core priorities we want to block time for first, pay ourselves first. And the way to build our routine is to think, okay, how much independent work time do I need? When am I at my best for that? When is my energy level highest? For most people, it's morning. What's my meeting load? When am I most in meetings? And you start to kind of build out the routine based on answers to all of these questions.
Right. Okay. So routine.
Mm-hmm.
You're a huge fan of routine.
Huge.
So how do you get someone to stick to a routine? It's just a question that I have, because like, yeah. I think to myself, as everybody knows, we ask our clients to journal in an online journal every single day, nice. Right? Every single day. And part of the pull or the way that they do it is that when they journal, we respond. So yep. most of our clients are very happy to engage in this process. Every once in a while, we have a resistant client who is like, well, I've never journaled. I got busy. There were other things, you know. So how do you get them?
So you've built an accountability already, right? And reinforcement with your responses. So that's huge.
We'll call it reinforcement, not so much accountability.
Well, the fact that they know someone's reading their journal entry.
Yeah.
You know, adds that buddy system. Apparently, like, we're 95% more likely to hit our goals if we have an accountability buddy. So the other thing I would suggest for anyone who's struggling to build this is a habit. The journaling is a habit. Start small. So there's a lot of great research out there that shows that we want our habits to be so small we can't fail. So you could say to your client, write one sentence.
Yeah.
Like the commitment is so ridiculously small.
Yeah.
That it feels so manageable. I started flossing regularly. I was always in a hit and miss flosser, like right clustered around the dentist appointment. But I started flossing regularly because I committed to flossing one tooth, which I heard that idea and I thought, that is ridiculous. But when I paired the task, that's another key tool, right? When you get your morning coffee, write that one sentence. When I paired the flossing with brushing, which I do consistently, I would look myself in the mirror and say, Anne, I know you're tired. You can floss one tooth. So I floss one tooth and then I keep flossing all of them, right? They can write 45 minutes if they want. Just commit to writing one sentence.
Yeah. I tell them that they need to show up every day. Even if they don't feel like it, they just go in and say, hi, I don't want to journal today. Have a nice day. Goodbye. And that's it. That's their journal.
That's okay. Right? Yeah.
It's awesome. Just, you got to show up.
And then pairing it with something that's already established, like having their coffee or whatever that is, right? That builds the routine.
You talked about an accountability buddy. I hate the term accountability for a million reasons. We don't need to debate it, but here's a question for you. Do you think it's a good idea to share your goals, or is that like setting yourself up for failure?
I think it's a great idea to share your goals, right? Because then you rally support, you commit to it yourself as well.
Yeah. When you think it reinforces the decision to go for the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it helps you rally support, build those champions around you, put it out there into the universe. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm a little mixed about it. I think it's a good idea to tell some people. I don't think it's necessarily
a great
idea to tell the whole world.
I agree with you. Be selective here. Absolutely.
Selective.
Yeah.
It's tricky because like you might have a goal, like I might have a goal, right? Oh, I want to lose 20 pounds by my birthday. Do you know how many years I've had that goal? Same goal every year, year after year. And I do all the things that I'm supposed to do. Eliminate carbs, sugar, no alcohol, no dairy, no, like whatever, all the no's, and get rid of everything. And still, for whatever reason, I don't make the kind of progress I'm looking to reach. So now my birthday comes and now, I just feel bad. I feel bad because I didn't reach my goal. And now I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little ashamed of myself. So what do you think? What do you think about that?
I think you are beautiful. And
that I wasn't looking for a compliment, but I'm saying, like, what do we do? Should we share our goals? That's the question.
I still think, shoot for the moon and land on the stars, right? Shoot for the stars, land on the moon. What's that expression, right? Like, I think a lot of people can relate to aiming high and maybe still having results that are worth being proud of, but not hitting the results we intended, right? I think that sometimes it's a blessing when we don't hit our goal, because another door opens up and we have another incredible opportunity that we're interested in. I've had many goals I haven't hit. I still think there's value in sharing them selectively. I agree. Not everyone. You don't want to share them with everyone, but I'd be very comfortable sharing a goal with you because I think you would give me good ideas and insights. And maybe you can, have you talked to this person? And you'd, you'd encourage me. Yeah. So I think the right person is a good person to share.
I agree. The right person. And I also think that's where a good coach comes in, right? Yes. Where you can work with your coach when you're struggling, yeah. when you're not meeting your time frames, et cetera. An amazing coach could really help address some of the things that are getting in the way. So that's where coaching comes in. All right. Another question. You talked about deadlines. Good or bad?
So good. Now, we don't want to overcommit ourselves, but deadlines really do drive productivity. So it's like productivity is this kind of trickle down effect. You start with what's most important. And I talk about three big goals. We can't do 7, 12 priorities at the same time. We can't even do 4. I've tried, Kim. It's three big goals. And then having deadlines related to all the activities and tasks associated with those three big goals. But also it's so important for us to track all of those in one place so we can gauge our capacity, because we don't want to overcommit ourselves. If I have 3 things due on Monday and you ask me to do something for you on Monday, I don't want to just rely on memory or these haphazard lists. I want to have this really solid priority management system. I call it your map, to consult and say, oh, Kim, I'd love to do that, work on that with you. Can I have my piece to you by next Friday? Because the beginning of the week is tight for me. And so it's the negotiation, right? I want to make sure my deadlines are realistic, and I can always many deadlines can be renegotiated.
Right.
But the deadline helps me commit to doing it.
Do you help individuals, organizations create their maps?
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Okay. It is the first thing we do when we're working with someone.
Okay. So I'm just looking at the clock, and I'm going to ask you this. What's your number one most important piece of advice for people who want to improve dramatically their productivity? What's the number one thing they need to think about or do?
Concentrate your focus. Know what the big goals are. Concentrate on those. And it's three core priorities.
Three core. So get rid of everything else.
Well, there are some things we're going to get, like we're going to park. And I call those future priorities. And some things have to get done. Like I talk about submitting expenses, right? Like that's not a core priority, but that has to get done. Booking the dentist appointment doesn't feel like a core priority, but it has to get done. Yeah. I call these supporting tasks, and those fit in around the periphery. Those don't form the core of our day. Those fit in around the periphery.
Yeah. For me, those are things I delegate.
Even better.
I can't, I'm not good at those things. Those things bog me down, right? They weigh me down. They are not my area of greatest expertise. So I, to the best of my ability, hand over all administratively related tasks to anybody I can hand them to.
See, this is another example of you performing at elite levels. This, I talk about the simplify filter where like uber productive people, they always look for opportunities to scale back, streamline, and seek help. And everything you just said there showed that you really make the most of simplifying.
Yeah. I often think about scaling back in terms of what are the things that we're working on that aren't yielding the results we're looking for. If let's look at them. If we can't figure out how to improve them, let's eliminate them. Because I don't want to spend time doing things that don't yield results.
Yeah.
Right. Because what happens then, it drains you, because you're spending all this time, all this energy trying to make it work. It's like a bad marriage, right? Sometimes you got to call it quits.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoken like a true executive, Kim.
Exactly.
Really focused on highest impact.
Highest impact. All right. How do people find you? How do people buy your book?
So you can search for me on social. And the book is available wherever books are sold. And you can find me more information on my website, clearconceptinc.ca.
Okay. And it's Ann Gomez, Ann with no E, A-N-N.
No E, yes, A-N-N.
A-N-N Gomez, G-O-M-E-Z, or Z for you Americans out
there. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, for sharing your wisdom, your insights, your knowledge, your expertise. Guys, go buy her book, go learn about productivity. She is the best. There is no question. And I'd love to hear what you think about this episode. We will catch you next time. Have a great week, everyone.